All right, here we go. Welcome, everybody, to three surefire ways to glue your audience to their seats without crazy glue, hot glue, or Mod Podge. And some of you probably don't know what Mod Podge is, but it's something that crafty people use when they're doing decoupage and collages and other kinds of art projects. Just another little, you know, making my title as crazy as possible, which I love to do. I am Lisa Braithwaite, public speaking coach and trainer, and I mentor entrepreneurs and professionals to create more engaging and memorable presentations in order to build their businesses through speaking. And so those of you who know me, you know that audience engagement is one of my big favorite topics. And I think that once you are in the mindset of always thinking about your audience and engaging them, you build so much more confidence and your presentations are just so much better. So we're going to be talking about that today. Hello, Steve from Colorado. Good. Steve popped in on the Q&A to tell me that he could hear me. Good to know. Great. I am super excited to do this teleseminar again because I haven't done it in about 18 months. And so it's the third time that I've done it, and it's not something I do very often, and so I'm guessing that there are some new faces on the line this time, and also I know that there are some familiar faces as well who are listening in and who've heard this call before but want to squeeze more out of it. So welcome to all of you. When I ask my clients in my community what their most pressing concerns are about speaking, and I do this through surveys periodically and in Q&A and questions in groups and on Facebook and social media, engaging the audience always seems to rise to the top. And if you look at the other concerns that people have about speaking, things like just general anxiety about getting in front of an audience, not having as much confidence as they would like, and in general, things like boring the audience, for example, all of these things become so much easier when you learn how to engage the audience. So today we're going to talk about three things, three surefire ways, and we'll go in depth a little bit into each of these things. The first one is shifting your thinking. The second one is preparing your ideas. And the third one is triggering the audience's emotion. So if you're frustrated with the sort of lukewarm and polite responses that you get when you speak, not quite as excited, the audience not quite as excited about your topic as you would like, if you want to promote your business through speaking, but you don't want to sound like a commercial when you present, if you feel like you're just not connecting with your audience the way you could be, and or if you feel like you know what you should be doing, but you're not implementing it. And I think that's probably true of a lot of people on this call and a lot of us as speakers. We know what we should be doing. I mean, as I said, I've done this call three times, and some of you may have been on it all three times. But you may not be doing things that you know you could be doing. And interestingly enough, I just came back from a workshop that I've attended three times. And it's a workshop that I go to every September to work on my business and to grow my business. And I keep going back because there's something new that I get out of it every time. Every single time I go, the content doesn't change that much. There are little tweaks. About half of the people are the same people that are there every time. But what's changed is me. I've changed. My business is in a new place. I'm in a new place. So I go back, and I just got back from my third time and have a huge list of things to do and implement in my business now. So I want you to keep that in mind, that a lot of us know what we should be doing. We've heard it all before. But we may not be implementing, we may not be doing it. So if these things sound like you, you are definitely in the right place. Now, let me just cover a little bit of housekeeping for those of you that are joining me later. I am muting the line during the call just because I don't, sometimes we get sound distractions in the background, but I will open it up for questions at the end. That is, sometimes we get right up to the top of the hour, and I may not have time for questions, but I can also stick around a little bit later. So we'll see how that goes. If you think of something that you want to ask and you're on the phone, do consider writing it down and saving it so that you don't forget and that you can ask at the end. If you are on your computer, you'll see that I have a chat box and I have a Q&A box, both on Instant Teleseminar. And one thing that I should tell you is that if you type in the chat, I can respond to you. I can respond to you in writing. If you type in the Q&A box, I can't write back. Oh, good question. Joanne would like to know if there are slides. No, there aren't. So you won't be seeing any slides on the screen. If you're wondering if you're missing something, you're not missing anything. So you have a chat box, you have a Q&A box, and if anybody for some reason is having trouble posting in the Q&A or in the chat, and that's happened to me before on Instant Teleseminar, and we are in Mercury retrograde, so just so you know, there are always technical difficulties that could happen. I'm also leaving my Facebook page open, and that's facebook.com/CoachLisaB. And if you want to type something there, if for some reason Instant Teleseminar isn't working for you, I will also pop over there from time to time and see if there's anything on the Facebook page, okay? So I am monitoring everything. And last but not least, I do sometimes get booted off the line by Skype, because I'm calling in from Skype. So if you can't hear me for some reason or if I disappear, just post in one of those places, Q&A box, chat, Facebook group, and let me know, because it's kind of uncool when I just go on talking and nobody can hear me. It can get a little bit embarrassing. So do let me know if I drop off for some reason and you don't hear me, and I will call back in as soon as possible. And then you also may hear my whiny cat in the background. I have a cat who's I have two cats, but one of them is particularly whiny and needy, and she may show up and start crying at some point. So just be forewarned. All right, let's jump in to our content. And first of all, I'll tell you a little story about myself. Some of you have heard before. I'm going to be very honest with you. I have always loved speaking and performing. Why am I being honest about this? I've always been a ham. Every picture of me when I was little shows me doing some sort of movie star pose, making a kissy face. Long before anybody ever heard of selfies or duck face, I was making these kissy faces at the camera. I was involved in theater in junior high. I was on the speech team in high school. So I'm not one of those people who overcame a deathly fear of speaking and lived to tell the tale. So that's not my story. And I can't sit here and say, hey, I did it, you can do it too, because that's not where I'm coming from here. However, just because I enjoyed speaking doesn't mean I was necessarily great at it. We all have to build our skills, and we all have to start somewhere. And I started out with my speaking career, speaking to teenagers. Yep, there's the whiny cat, and I don't know what she wants. Either she wants food or wants to get on my lap. I don't know what it is, but she's going to cry and whine, I'm sure, throughout. So, yes, I got my start speaking to teenagers, and I had just started a new job as a children's program coordinator at a domestic violence shelter here in Santa Barbara, and so I expected to be working with kids and their moms in the shelter. That was what I interviewed for, and that was the job I thought I was taking. But shortly after this job started, I was informed that part of my job involved going into high schools to talk about healthy and abusive relationships. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever spoken to high school students. They can be a rough audience, but even if you haven't spoken to high school students, I know you've been a high school student. And teenagers, they don't really make a big effort to be polite or pretend they're interested. If you bore them, they'll let you know. If you're lucky, they will make eye contact with you. But if you're not lucky, they talk to their friends the whole time while the teacher sits in the back of the classroom obliviously grading papers, which happened to me quite a few times. So this was my intro to speaking, and it was not easy. you know, put that together with the kind of intense subject of abusive relationships, and I had my work cut out for me. And at first, I was really scared. I was scared of teenagers because I had been working with little kids for a long time. But I started to learn what I had to do to make these presentations work for my audience. And once I started learning that and figuring it out, it really made me start loving the work that I was doing. And I started to really thrive on it. Now, as I said, I'd always been a performer. I didn't have trouble getting in front of an audience. But getting to a point where my audience would trust me, would participate, and ultimately where I could reach them and actually get them to understand what I was saying, internalize it, and want to make the changes in their lives and their attitudes that I was trying to achieve, it took work. And what was really great was that years later, I would run into these former students, and they would recognize me around town, and they would say, "Hey, I remember you came to my class, and you talked about relationships, and I got this one great nugget out of it, or I still remember this great thing that you told me." And it was a huge honor for me to win their trust and respect by learning what I needed to do to treat that audience in a way that would help them learn. So I'm telling you this because I've always had an affinity for being on stage, but it doesn't mean that I was born good at it or that I naturally knew how to engage an audience and keep their attention. I had to learn how to do it just like everyone else, and I happened to have a particularly difficult audience to learn from, which was kind of, you know, a trial by fire is the way I like to put it. It was definitely a trial by fire. I'd love to know if any of you feel that you have a particularly difficult audience. If you're in the chat, or if you're using the Q&A box, go ahead and post if you have a particularly difficult audience, or if you have had one. I'd love to hear what kinds of audiences you've had to face. If you're on the phone, you can tell me later, or you can post in the Facebook group or wherever you are. So most of the things that I'm going to teach on this call are things that I learned through trial and error. I didn't read books on public speaking until I started this coaching business 9 years ago. And in fact, this is my 9th anniversary. Happy anniversary to me. October is my 9th anniversary of my public speaking coaching business. And I've never been in Toastmasters, so what I'm teaching you is real world stuff, my real world experience tested on real world audiences of all ages for more than 20 years. And yes, I have read, and yes, I continue to study, and I continue to build my own skills and my own knowledge. But I want you to know that I've learned this in the trenches. And what I'm telling you is, you know, as I said, real world stuff that you learn only by getting in front of audiences and doing it. So we have a limited amount of time, obviously, together today. So before we're done, I will show you how you can get more training on making your presentations memorable and engaging. I'm going to just be touching on some kind of overview level ideas today. And so let's get busy. Let's talk about those three ways. So the first thing that I want to talk about, and I mentioned to you already, is how to shift your thinking, okay? The number one way, number one out of three ways to glue your audience to their seats. There's this sort of it's kind of a big secret, but I'm going to tell you the secret about successful speaking that a lot of people don't know. And that is, it's not about you. Now, those of you who know me and who've worked with me before, who've been on this call or who've been in other programs with me, you know that I say this a lot. this is kind of something that I tend to repeat. But, you know, it's not about you. And this is a huge shift for new and inexperienced speakers when they start looking at how to make their presentations more effective and how to gauge the audience. What happens is a lot of speakers go into the room with all this stuff going on in their heads, and it's all about me. Am I funny enough? Am I smart enough? Am I going to lose my place? Is there food in my teeth? And it's all me, 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 me. And it's understandable because when you get on stage, you're putting yourself out there. It can be nerve-wracking, and I totally understand that. It's a vulnerable place to be. It's kind of like you're the gazelle that's been separated from the herd, and now you're on stage, and the lion can find you really easily if the lion wants to eat you. So it makes a lot of sense that it feels uncomfortable to be on stage, and that people focus on me, right? How do I look? How do I sound? Am I doing it right? But when you stop thinking about yourself and you instead focus on how you can provide value to your audience and how you can make your content relevant to your audience and how you can give practical tools that they can use, you are on your way to giving great presentations and effective and successful presentations. When you think about how to create the best possible experience for them, I'm saying this in a lot of ways, provide value, make your content relevant, give practical tools, create a great experience. I'm saying this in a lot of different ways because there are a lot of things that you can do to make this happen. But once you do that, you stop thinking about yourself. When you start thinking about all the ways you want to engage them and connect with them, the whole process becomes more enjoyable for you and also for them. And also, by the way, when you stop thinking about yourself, you magically reduce a lot of your own anxiety and start to build your own confidence. Okay, so number one surefire way to glue your audience to their seats is shifting your thinking to who's really important in the room. And that would be the audience. Okay. Popping back over here, oh, I like this. So TL comments, in terms of difficult audiences, any mandatory meeting runs the risk of having a difficult audience. And I know any of you who present on a regular basis, some of your audiences are going to be mandated, right? Those are the audiences where you're invited by some company to come in and talk about a topic, and they tell their employees, you're going to this presentation. And granted, I mean, I may not be, well, I did used to do this. I did have to talk about things like sexual harassment. I don't do that anymore. But hey, not everybody wants to sit in on a public speaking presentation either, no matter how fabulous I am and no matter how engaging and wonderful I am. You know, mandated presentations can be difficult. So I appreciate that comment. And I know there are a lot of other difficult audiences that many of you are dealing with. I have a quick story to tell you about one of my clients in terms of shifting your thinking. I had this client come to me after having avoided public speaking for 20 years. He told me 20 years he had not gotten in front of an audience. And he's the CEO of this large international company, and somehow he had managed to avoid speaking for 20 years by handing it off to other people, his various vice presidents and whoever he could think of. Well, in this case, he had to go to Europe and he had to speak to investors. And these were people that he wanted to give his company money. And he had no choice but to do the presentation himself. And so this mind shift was so critical to his ability to stand in front of his audience, because in his case, all he could think of was how boring he was going to be. So this is the me, me, me. I'm going to be boring. I can't keep anyone's attention. They're going to hate it. And, you know, if he had gone into the presentation with that mindset, I pretty much guarantee you he would have bored the audience, because he would have been so concerned about himself. He would have been nervous. He would have been anxious. And he wouldn't have fully focused on giving the audience what they need and want and care about. But when he shifted his thinking and started making it about the audience, everything changed. And this was 7 years ago, and I hadn't seen him. I haven't seen him in all that time, but I know his daughters, and I ran into one of his daughters last year and asked her how he was doing. And she told me that he gives tons of presentations now, and he totally love speaking. And it was all because of this very simple shift in his thinking that it's not about me. It's about the audience. So just to give you a really nice example, I love to share that story because seriously, not speaking for 20 years, and he had built up so much fear and anxiety in his mind. And just by shifting this one simple thought, he was able to finally enjoy it. And when he enjoys it, his audience enjoys it as well. Number two way to glue your audience to their seats is to prepare your ideas. Now, a lot of you out there, you think you're prepared. And a lot of people think they're prepared, but they don't really understand what preparation is. So they will put some things down on paper. They will type out some bullets in PowerPoint. Then they'll practice in their head. And then they think they're done preparing. But this kind of preparation is weak, okay? Weak. And on top of not being good preparation for yourself, it really shows your audience how little you value them and value their time. I don't ever want you to forget that your audience is giving up their time to sit in that room where you're speaking. And they may have even paid some money to be there. And if you don't value this, they can see it. They can. It's clear to them that you did not take the time to prepare. Now, I'm sure nobody on this call does that, right? No, of course you don't. None of you do that. You wouldn't be here if you didn't care about your audience. But let's just say a lot of other people do that, okay? So let's talk about the mindset that you need to get into before you even write anything down. And this is the number one thing that you can be doing to better engage your audience from start to finish. And what is that word? Yes, research. I know some of you know me and you've heard this before, but are you really doing what you need to do to get to know who your audience is and truly prepare? I'm just going to quickly jump over to the Facebook group, make sure nobody's over there saying, I can't see you on Instant Teleseminar. But I think we're all good. Okay, we're good, and I'm seeing stuff in the chat and in the Q&A. Perfect. Okay. I want you to think about something for a minute. Sometimes as speakers, we approach our audiences in a bit of a parental way, okay? Like, we know what's best for them, and we know what they need, and we're going to give them what they need in order to fix what's wrong. And we feel like we need to fix their lives and their work and all this stuff. And like parents, we think we know what's best for them. And sometimes we might even be right. For example, I know that a lot of people need PowerPoint training, right? I'm sure you agree with me. You've seen a lot of crappy PowerPoint out there. And I would love to save all of those people from themselves. But the problem is, if they don't know they need it, then I can't help them. Because what they need and what they want are not necessarily the same thing. People don't always seek out what they need, but they will seek out and get what they want. Okay? So what they want versus what they need is what you need to be thinking about. So I'm digging a little bit deeper into this concept of research and why are they there and what do they know and what do they need to know, because I want to discourage you from being the parent when you're planning your presentations and really look at what your audience wants rather than what you think they need, okay? So think about why are they there? People have a lot of different motivations for coming to your presentations. And we just talked about one example is that sometimes they're mandated. And if your audience is mandated, it's a very different energy in the room than if they're there by choice, right? Are they there because they want to socialize? I speak at conferences a lot where people come because they see their friends in this industry once a year. And they're all there to see their friends, and sometimes the education is kind of a side piece of it, right? So they may not they may not be there to focus so much on the education as they are to see their friends. Hopefully they're there for some kind of professional or personal development. Those are going to be your most motivated audience members. And by the way, this is something that we cover in a lot more depth in my Speak to Engage program, which is coming up soon. I'm going to tell you about it at the end. It's a much more in-depth program about audience engagement and really putting together the best presentations that you can. So when you're looking at what your audience wants, why are they there? What do they already know? Are they advanced? Are they beginners? And again, a lot of you have heard this from me before, so I'm not going to beat it into the ground, but you have to think about, you know, do they need a lot of detail? Do they need a general overview? What are they there for? And what's in it for them? What are they hoping to get out of the presentation? What do they care about? What do they want from you? If you do your research properly, you will always look like you know what you're talking about, and you will always look like you magically figured out what your audience, exactly what's on their mind and exactly what they want and need, right? But you have to do the research first, and that is a critical aspect of engaging the audience. And I want to touch briefly on titles. I mentioned on the page for this that the title of your presentation can make or break your audience's trust. And this is another example of really knowing who your audience is and what they want and then giving it to them. I had a client who's a therapist, and she uses hypnosis in her practice. And she gave a presentation at a conference that had a title that didn't say anything about hypnosis, and there was nothing in the workshop description about hypnosis. But then during her presentation, she talked a lot about hypnosis, and her presentation was mostly about using hypnosis. So she got a lot of negative comments in her evaluations for attendees who said things like, well, I don't use hypnosis in my practice, and I would have liked more verbal techniques rather than hypnosis, and a lot of comments about the description of the workshop and so forth. And because the audience was expecting something else, not hypnosis, they were very quickly disappointed when they discovered a different presentation than the one that they had signed up for. So again, when we talk about finding out what the audience wants and researching what they want and they need, you certainly do not want to pull a switcheroo on them or try to manipulate your audience by giving them some tricky title that gets them to come, but then you don't actually give them what you say you're going to give them. And I see this a lot. You probably see this a lot in the world of marketing, that there are a lot of titles with a lot of hyperbole or lures to try to get people to come to your presentation. And that's great if you can deliver. But if you give a title or a description that's unrelated or vaguely related or in some way is sort of a bait and switch on your audience, you're going to lose their trust and their interest. And it's pretty hard to get them back when you basically trick them into being there. Okay, so keep this all in mind as you're doing your research. Think about how you can be as straightforward as possible. It doesn't mean you can't have fun, and it doesn't mean you can't have an emotional appeal, and it doesn't mean you can't be silly. I mean, right, I'm not going to literally glue people to their seats over here. Yes, that's the title of my presentation. It's a metaphor, and I wanted to be silly about it, but just be careful about making promises you can't keep. And if anybody is disappointed that you're not actually going to be able to glue people to their seats after this presentation, I'm sorry if I misled you. And then continuing on this vein, just think about what you want them to do as a result of your talk. Now that you know who they are and what they want, what do you want them to do? Are you trying to change an attitude or a behavior? As you know, I worked in nonprofits. Domestic violence was just one organization I worked in. And so a lot of presentations I would give were about changing attitudes and behavior. but I also gave a lot of presentations about trying to get people to volunteer. Sometimes it was about getting people to give us money. So think about what you want them to do at the end of your presentation, because you need to give them what they need to go and do what you want them to do, right? You have different desired outcomes for each audience. You might want them to hire you or buy your product or talk about you and spread your message. You might want them to partner with you and join with you in some sort of endeavor. You might want to get them to sign up for your freebie and join your mailing list. There are so many things that you're doing that you want as results of your talk. You have to just be clear about what that is. Now, you may have noticed that we haven't yet written down anything. We haven't actually started writing and creating our presentation yet. And this brings me to my next point. I want you to get in the habit of asking the question, so what? And I also posted this on the page for this call about that I was going to talk about why so what is the most important question you can ask yourself. Typically, we go into the audience with a lot of facts and figures, and we tend to think the more we tell them, the more we load them down with, the more info we get, the more we can convince them. I just had a client tell me yesterday that he's afraid that if he doesn't tell his audience enough stuff, if he doesn't give them enough information, they won't be as excited as he is. Well, guess what? People don't get excited from information. People don't get excited from lists of features, the lists of, you know, what you do or whatever your startling and amazing list of features about your product is. We tend to think our ideas are really spectacular and that everybody wants to hear them, right? I mean, who in this group thinks your ideas are not really great, and that who thinks that people shouldn't hear your ideas? Nobody, because you're here, because you want people to hear and respond to your ideas. But what the audience cares about is the benefit to them. They're saying, what's in it for me? They're not saying, what is this list of features? How long is your program? How many times do we meet? What time are the calls? Sure, people want to know that, but they only want to know that once they get emotionally excited about the program, right? So the question, so what, is one of the questions your audience is asking before, during, and after your presentation. They say before because they're not sure they want to go. Yeah, so what? I don't know. If you can give them enough benefits that they will get from your presentation, then they will want to come because they're saying, so what? Well, if you answer those questions by telling them the benefits, they want to come, right? Then once they get there, there are all these questions going on in their mind. How much longer is this? And am I going to find out what I really need to know? And are there snacks? Is there coffee? And during the presentation, they're still saying, so what? Everything you say in their mind, your audience is still saying, well, so what? How does this apply to me? What do I get out of it, right? And if the answer to so what is not convincing enough, your audience is going to feel disappointed and let down. So briefly, I will cover the difference between benefits and features. I know a lot of you know this already, but some of you don't. And anyway, this is one of those areas where it can be really good to be reminded, because it tends to come more easily to us to give a list of descriptive features than it is to think of what the benefits are to our audience. So remember, the benefits answer the question, what's in it for me? When you're looking at the features of a product or service, there should be a benefit attached, okay? And the way to get to that benefit is to say, so what? Now, I like to use the example of buying a car. You may have a certain price in mind, a price range, certain features. You want GPS and you want cup holders and you want Bluetooth, and maybe you want a chain-driven dual overhead cam and four valves per cylinder with variable intake valve timing. I don't even know what that means. I just got that off of some car website. But these are all features, right? Lots of room in the trunk and good mileage and all this kind of stuff. These are features. However, you go to the car lot. Now, you've already done your research. There may be five cars that have the features that you want, and they're in your price range. And I just went through this about 6 months ago. I bought a car, and my husband and I went looking at these several cars that we had researched. The thing is, we had a list in mind of all of these things. But the first thing that happens is that one of those cars is going to hit you emotionally. It's color. It's lines. What it could say about you if you were the driver, right? These are all things we think about, maybe not super consciously, but these are the things that we think about when we buy something like a car. You get in this car and you look sexy. Or you look youthful, or you look eco-conscious, or you look successful or affluent. These are things people think. And I've actually heard people say, oh, I wouldn't want to drive that car because I don't want to look like a surfer. Okay, this is a friend of ours who said this about a certain car. I don't want to drive that kind of car because I don't want to look like a surfer. And I'm thinking, really? But I mean, these are the kinds of things people think about. It's the emotional, it's all this internal stuff, right? So then you get in the car, you go for a test drive, and not only is it great on the outside and it's got all those sort of emotional little, you get those little tickly feelings, but it meets most of your criteria from the inside too. Hey, guess what? It has Bluetooth and it has GPS and it has all these things that you're looking for, and maybe it doesn't even have everything, right? Sometimes you love that thing so much that you're okay with letting some of the list of features go because you feel the benefits so strongly. The what's in it for me are so strong that you let some of those features go. So what's this factor? It's emotion. It's intangible, right? You can't necessarily put your finger on it, but it's the emotional connection that you get when you look at the car, you get in the car, you drive it, you just feel awesome. And no list of features is going to make you feel that awesome. You have to get that emotional benefit, okay? Now, I want to talk briefly about emotions because people tend to have a sort of a limited view of emotion. And so let's think for a minute. What kinds of emotions you, in your presentations, can authentically demonstrate and use to appeal to your audience's emotions, okay? And I say authentically because I don't want you to manipulate your audience or contrive some kind of drama. I really don't appreciate the kind of presentations where there's a lot of fake sort of, you know, high five your neighbor and, you know, stand up and yell it out. You know, I don't believe in contriving emotion from my audience. So I'm not asking you to do that. I really want you to authentically appeal to their emotions. So that means using real stories. That means authentically sharing your feelings about your topic. So here are some things that you can try. What about humor? Now, a lot of people say, oh, I'm not funny. I can't use humor in my presentations. But think about what makes you and your colleagues laugh when you're talking about your work. What funny stories do you take home to your partner at the end of the day, right? If your audience can relate, use it in your presentation. And we all know that self-deprecating humor is pretty much always a winner as long as you don't do too much of it and make yourself look too pathetic. Self-deprecating humor is always something the audience appreciates, and that's easy. We can all do that. We all have plenty of things that we can laugh at about ourselves, right? Okay, so then let's think about what's frustrating about your topic. What drives you, your colleagues, or your clients crazy? Is it a long, complicated form? Is it piles of cables and cords in your clients' homes? Is it bad customer service, clueless drivers, late fees on invoices, whatever it is that applies to your audience, tell that story. Make your audience feel that frustration. Find, again, something that they can relate to and include that so that they really feel that frustration. And then, of course, you're going to not leave them with that frustration. You're going to leave them with hope, and you're going to help them figure out how they can solve their problem, but frustrate them first. When I was in domestic violence, we sometimes our audiences would get angry, and that was a useful emotion to trigger sometimes, because you want people to feel persuaded and motivated to do something. And in our case, we wanted people to join us in ending domestic violence. So sometimes you want people to get pissed off. That may not be for every audience, but that might be an emotion that works for you. So think about how you can use stories and quotes and statistics and images and all these kinds of things that you're already doing in your presentations to some degree to trigger your audience's emotions. Okay, and there are a lot, I mean, you know, there are a lot more emotions that we can both demonstrate ourselves and trigger in our audiences. And that's just, you know, a few of them. But it's something, again, this is something that we talk a lot about. We go a lot more in depth about in Speak to Engage. So let's take a minute to just review. I'm going to take a breath because I get going kind of fast. Take a breath and have a sip of water. And give you guys a break from my voice for a second, even though I know my voice is fabulous. Yeah, it's kind of hard on a teleseminar when you have to be the only one talking for an hour. It can get a little hard on both of us. Okay, reviewing what we've talked about so far, we have talked about how to go beyond the bland and the boring, right? How to give presentations that are the opposite of the kind that your audience forgets as soon as they walk out the door, right? That's why I like to say memorable and engaging, because we don't want people to forget. Granted, they're not going to remember everything. They may remember one important thing, but you want them to remember so that they come back to you and they're intrigued and they follow up and they want to learn more, right? And so we've talked about how to do the things that can give you a start in making a lasting impact, where your audience actually retains the information and continues to engage with you and your content after you've left the building. I talked about how to shift your thinking, how to prepare your ideas, and how to trigger your audience's emotions. Three really important things to do to get your audience engaged and to get them and to keep them with you as your presentation goes on. So I want to briefly tell you a little bit about how you can take this information that we've covered today and expand it and really transform what you're doing now into presentations that bring you serious results. And so some of you are looking for more clients. Some of you are looking for more visibility. Some of you are looking for more credibility and respect and reputation in your field. And maybe you just want more confidence. But the program that I'm going to tell you about will help you with all of those things. And by the way, don't worry, because I know that I said there are also 7 guaranteed ways to lose your audience's attention, even if you already had it. I know I promised that on the page about this call, and I am still going to get to that, okay? So stick around for the 7 guaranteed ways to lose your audience's attention, even if you already had it. And I am going to take questions. So hang on. I do have more content. And I just want to give you a minute to tell you about this complete plan that I can lay out for you to create more engaging and memorable presentations. So what we're talking about today are first steps. And I want you to be able to take them and apply them right now. I mean, it's always really important to me to give practical tools, even in my free programs. But in my upcoming program, I'm going to be taking you through 7 steps that will go deeper and more thoroughly into these key areas that you need to focus on so that you can really rock your audience's world. So this teleseminar series, some of you know it, it's called Speak to Engage, 7-Step Shortcut to Public Speaking Success. I haven't led this workshop in 1.5 years, and I know there are a lot of people out there. People keep contacting me and saying, when are you going to be doing your next group program? And I've been really busy working on a lot of other things, and I haven't had time to do this because it's intensive. It's a 7-week program, and it does take up a lot of my time, and I haven't had time to do it. But I've had so many requests for group programs because, you know, to be honest, not everybody can afford my individual coaching, or not everybody is ready for individual coaching. So the group program fills a gap for a lot of people in their speaking training. So I decided to offer it again this fall. And there are indeed 7 steps, 7 things that you need to work on to create a presentation that resonates with your audience, is relevant to your audience, and gets the results you want. So I want to invite you now, if you're on the web, to go to CoachLisaB.com. I'm typing it myself so I get it right. CoachLisaB.com/speaktoengage.html. And that is the website for the Speak to Engage program. And you know what? I will also type this into the chat because I can. So give me a second and I'll put this link in the chat. And so you can just click on it if you're there. Okay, there's the link in the chat. I don't have any way to put that in the do I have a way to put that in the Q&A? No, I don't. But anyway, if you're online, you can see it in the chat. You can click on it, go to my website. If you're on the call, you can visit it later. So again, it's coachlisaB.com/speaktoengage.html. And you can see to make this really quick, you can actually scroll down to where it says, here's a sampling of what you're going to learn in my 7-step program, and it's in orange lettering. And you'll see that there's a list of things, step 1, step 2. So just really briefly, you can see what these steps are. The audience comes first. Now, we've talked about that a little bit, but in the program, we go a lot more in depth into this. We talk about adult learning principles. We talk about motivations and barriers to learning and how that influences your audience. We talk about step 2, going with the flow, and how to take your ideas from your head to the page in a structured and organized way, which a lot of people come to me and they say, I have no idea how to organize a presentation. So this section is all about really good structure and organization. Step 3 is about shaking things up, how to use physical movement, how to get the audience using their own critical thinking skills. We will delve more into emotions, stories, analogies, etc. Step 4 is completing the packaging, or completing the package. And this is where we talk about things like your opening and your closing, which is super awkward for a lot. I don't know how many of you feel awkward with your closings especially, but I know a lot of people just don't know how to end. Like when you're at a party and you're like, okay, time to go. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. And a half an hour later, you're still there because you can't make the close. So this is one of the things we talk about in step 4, is how to do a really strong opening and a really strong closing. Step 5, we talk about the little things that can add up to big problems if you don't pay attention to them. And those are things like transitions, your room layout, the comfort of the room, and making sure you're not alienating your audience with your language, etc. So this is the little things that you are probably not thinking about that would make your presentation so much more stellar. Step 6 is about getting your head in the game. And if you're not an athlete, that is basically all about mental preparation. And I will be giving you some really powerful readiness techniques so that you can take the stage with confidence. And you'll get relaxation and vocal preparation exercises. And so this is all about that mental preparation. And then step 7 is taking stock. And that is looking at how you evaluate and assess your performance and how to read the audience while you're speaking so that you can shift and adjust as needed in the moment. Okay? So those are the 7 steps. And you can take your time and you can go through this page and you can read them. But I wanted to kind of go through them with you briefly and just give you an idea what that looks like. And then along with this seven-step system, you also get a workbook that has a whole bunch of supplemental handouts. You get exercises to complete between the sessions. You get a whole bunch of links. And let me just tell you, I tend to over-deliver in the resources area. So there are tons of videos, blog posts, and articles to support what you're learning. There will be more than you could possibly need. So you can pick the ones that work the best for you. I give examples of my own questionnaires and my own evaluations that I use with my clients. You'll get a recording of each call that you can replay at your convenience. And there's a private forum for discussion and questions in between calls. So you actually get a really nice community. When you join Seven Steps, it's a community of people who are going through the same things and are growing and wanting to improve their speaking skills. And you get access to me because I'm in the forum. I am there with you. So I'm on the call every week. It's a live call. People ask questions. People participate. And then we have our private group as well, where any questions you have, I will answer. I'm there. I'm active in the forum. I'm not just like, here's a bunch of stuff, go read it on your own. I'm very active in this program. And then you'll see that there are a few bonuses also that I'm just going to give with the early bird rate. So the early bird rate, I don't think I've set a date for this early bird. Have I set a date for the early bird to expire? See how I don't even know what I've decided to do here? The program, as you can see, I haven't actually made this page live yet. It will go live immediately after the call. Okay, so keep this web page open and refresh it. And as soon as we're done with the call, this is going to go live. So the bonuses that you get include my ebook, 49 Lessons for Speakers from Food, Science, Sports, and Culture. You'll get my ebook on using rituals for powerful public speaking. You'll get my handout, Visualizing Your Perfect Presentation. And, well, I personally think this is the best bonus, but you get a 30-minute strategy session with me for free, to talk about whatever you want to talk about your most pressing public speaking concerns. So this program, the value of the program is over $500. The bonuses alone are worth over $350. And just to give you some perspective, my private coaching clients get 3 hours with me for $997. But you get 7 hours of this program, plus the forum, plus all of these extra materials, plus this private Facebook group and the recordings and all of this kind of stuff, I'm going to offer it for the early bird rate of $297. So, oh, there it is. I made a note to myself that the early bird rate is good until the 17th. I'm giving you a very generous 10 days. I don't usually do that. I usually kind of give a really quick early bird. You need to sign up in the next 3 days to get the early bird rate. And again, this rate of $297 is going to go up after the 17th to $397. But I want to give you this 10 days also because I limit the size of the group to 6 to 8 people to keep it manageable and to keep the calls manageable. So the group is going to fill up anyway, whether or not you know, you take the early bird rate or the regular rate. The group it will fill up at 6 to 8 people. So I wanted to give you an extra long time to take advantage of the early bird rate and all the bonuses, okay? So anyway, coachlisab.com/speaktoengage.html. The minute the call is over, this page is going to go live. So just be aware right now you can see all the information. But you can't quite click the link. It'll be ready. It'll be ready soon. And let me get back now to your last seven tips, the seven guaranteed ways to lose the audience's attention, even if you already had it. Okay, I want to make sure we do this before the end of the call. So number one is reading directly from your slides. You can have the best content in the world, But if you are not connecting with your audience and you're standing there reading from your slides, you are going to lose them. And as I said, even if you had their attention at some point, you're going to lose it. So that's number one. Number two, talking on and on about yourself and your credentials, name dropping. Oh my gosh, it drives me crazy when people name drop and they talk about all these people who I don't even know. Have you had that happen where people are in the presentation and they're like, well, blah, 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 and so, and they're talking about all these people that you've never heard of. So that is going to alienate your audience very quickly. Now, what's next? Throwing around statistics that aren't true and that you haven't verified. Oh, this really, really annoys me. And the truth is, you can't get away with this anymore, right? So you may have had the audience's attention. They may have been right there with you and just, you know, eating up everything that you're saying. And then you go and you throw out some really inflated, random statistic. Guess what? There's a thing called Google, and there's a thing called a smartphone, and it's really easy for your audience to look things up that you're saying right in the middle of the call. So be really careful about this. This is something that can easily blow your credibility very quickly. The next thing, number four, is to insult your audience by either talking over their heads, either because you think the audience is at that level or because you're trying to look smart or impress them. Either way, if you talk over your audience's heads, you lose them. But the other thing that you might insult them by doing is talking beneath them, treating them like a child or berating them. And I don't know if you've ever heard a speaker do this, where they make their point and then they go, am I right? Am I right? Yes or no? Yes or no? And they sort of yell at you to try to get you to respond. And I heard a speaker like that a year or so ago. And the people in the room just looked so awkward and so uncomfortable because they were, you know, they felt like they were being yelled and screamed at. Number five way to lose your audience's attention, even if you already had it, is lecturing and not inviting participation and audience involvement. And hey, we're not in high school anymore, right? Adults do not appreciate being lectured to. And it's not even the most effective way for them to learn. Your audience has a lifetime of skills and knowledge to share, and they want to feel like they have something to contribute and like they're part of a team. So even when I'm on this kind of a webinar, a teleseminar, I'm always trying to get people to, you know, post in the chat, post in the Q&A, so that at least if people want to participate and share things, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. But I like to make that option available. And of course, in a live presentation, I'm all about interaction. Number six way to lose your audience is to deliver the same canned presentation that you give to every group. This basically shows the audience that you don't care about them, right? Like we talked about before, and that you couldn't be bothered to prepare something that is tailored to their needs. And you know what? If you can't be bothered, why should they be bothered, right? And then number seven is not using examples, analogies, stories that resonate with your audience so that they can actually apply your concepts to their own lives. I mean, that's the most important thing, is that your audience is able to apply the things that you're teaching them, right? So ultimately, you want them to take your tools and apply them. So those are the seven guaranteed ways to lose the audience's attention, even if you already had it. And I just want to say that I really appreciate you being on this call today or signing up for the call and listening to the recording. I know that a lot of you were not actually available at this time, which is why I do like to offer the recording. I appreciate you being here because I know that for you it's important to invest your time and your energy in your professional growth, and investing your time and your energy in becoming a better speaker. And, you know, you all have different reasons for being here. Maybe you're struggling to make an impact and you're ready to make that change. Maybe you're tired of dreading presentations and you know that transforming the way that you relate to your audiences is your key change that you need to make. You know, so I want to know how important it is to you to be able to deliver these knockout kinds of presentations that you want to deliver. How important is it to you to get in front of your audience and really radiate confidence and authenticity and authority? So as a kind of a final word, I am going to open the line to questions. If anybody on the phone has a question that you want to ask, I can stick around. I do see that we're at the top of the hour. So anybody who needs to go, I know you need to go, but you can also come back to the recording, listen to any Q&A if anybody has questions. Before I open the Q&A, I just want to encourage you to take action on the Speak to Engage program. I want to see you succeed as a speaker. I want to see you enjoy speaking. I want to see you rocking your audience's world and knocking their socks off. And, you know, if you're tired of just being that so-so kind of presenter and you know that you could be making a bigger impact, you will get a ton out of the program. So I want to let you know that the link, Speak to Engage, coachlisab.com/speaktoengage.html is live now. So if you are already reading the site with me, you can scroll down and or you can refresh and you'll see that the button is there now. And if you're reading this later, well, the page will be ready for you. So let me see if I can get any questions from our group. Also, I'd love to hear if anything stood out to you, if you had any ahas or any revelations or just any cool thing that you want to start incorporating into your presentations. I would love for you to share. You can type something into the Q&A. You can type something into the chat. And I am going to open the line and see. Let's see. Okay, here we go. I've opened up the line. I've unmuted it. And the best way to do this, I find, is just to jump in. If you want to say something, just be the first to jump in, and I can see you on my dashboard. So I'm going to take a sip, and if anybody wants to type something or jump in and say something, I will be sitting and waiting. Any questions, any thoughts on today's call? Let's see, Q&A, chat box. Well, I like to think that if there aren't any questions, it's because I did such a fabulous job of answering all of your questions on the call. but do, if you're on the line and you want to ask something or you want to tell me something, feel free to jump in. But I understand that, I mean, this is a call about public speaking, and I know a lot of people feel very intimidated about speaking up, so I totally get that. I'm also going to go check the Facebook group really quickly, so feel free to jump in if you would like. I do see a comment here in the Q&A also by TL that when we're talking about, you know, the kinds of audiences that you might have, especially with difficult audiences, this, you know, how you handle the audience presupposes that you have done your homework to know your audience. So I see that TL is somebody who is, like me, really believes in researching the audience and knowing as much as you can in advance, and that is super important. Okay, last call for anybody who's on the line to pop in with a question or comment. And then if I don't hear from anybody, you know, a few seconds or so, I'll go ahead and we'll wrap up. All righty. No questions on the line. That is perfectly all right. Feel free to email me, by the way, if you do have questions. I will be sending you the link to this recording in just a little while. So for those of you who were not able to be here live today, and are listening to the recording, feel free to email me any questions or post questions on the Facebook group. That's perfectly fine. And this recording will only be available until Monday because it'll be until the early bird special goes away, okay? So you'll get access to the recording until the early bird special goes away on the 17th, okay? So be aware of that. And I just want to thank you all for spending this time with me, either live or later on the recording. I always enjoy being able to share my favorite audience engagement techniques and tips with you. And I do look forward to having you join me on the Speak to Engage teleseminar series. Let me know if you have any questions about that. And go and start implementing these tips, because with the material I gave you today, there is no reason you can't start taking steps right now to bust out better presentations and make a bigger impact on your audience. Thank you all for coming, and I will see you on social media and by email. Take care.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID.